Good morning and welcome to St. Columba's on this, the 18th Sunday after Trinity, for our service of morning prayer. We've had a busy 9:30 service that has just concluded, and after this service, there will be refreshments kindly hosted by the Bible study group. I do hope that you can wait behind to enjoy the coffee and also to enjoy the conversation one with another. The Bible study group meets on a Wednesday at 7:30 in the choir vestry. And just to say, while numbers are small who attend, it's a very faithful group who would hugely welcome new members. And it lasts for about an hour. It's very relaxed. It's very informal. No hard questions are asked. No academic answers ever given. It simply is an opportunity to have a greater understanding of the Bible. And at the moment, we're looking at the Acts of the Apostles and using a study guide to help us with all of that. But a key part of the Bible study group is how can we connect our understanding of the Bible with everyday life. So there is a huge practical application to our Bible study discussions. And if you would like to come along, choir vestry, Wednesdays at 7:30, excluding the third Wednesday, and you will be very welcome, and as I say, new members particularly welcome. Next Sunday afternoon, Jim, Joyce, Kim, and Laura Stevenson are hosting a fair trade sale at their home in 44 Castledonar Rise, and all are very welcome. Those of us who have been there in previous years know what a most enjoyable occasion it is, as well as also supporting fair trade and all the good work that fair trade do. So I do commend that to you next Sunday afternoon. We observe now a few moments' silence.
Praise you. The Lord be with you. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Please stand. O Lord, open our lips.
And our mouth will proclaim your praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make speed to help us.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised.
Of the Lord, all shown forth all his praise.
We are hearing each week of the Israelites' journey from Egypt. Their camp is at Sinai, and Moses has taken to spending much time in private prayer, which his people regard as a waste of time. So disquiet turns to frustration, which turns to rebellion in the dramatic episode of the golden calf. But God will not let his people go their own way. The Old Testament reading is from Exodus chapter 32, beginning at verse 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Come, make gods for us, who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Aaron said to them, "Take off the gold rings that are on the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from them, formed it in a mold, and cast an image of a calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a festival to the Lord." They rose early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought sacrifices of well-being. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to revel. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" The Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and of you I will make a great nation." But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce wrath, change your mind, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, 'I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised, I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.'" And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. In Jerusalem, Jesus' parable is a lesson for those who oppose him and for all who do not accept his invitation to join him in feasting in his kingdom. The New Testament reading is from Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 1. Once again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, maltreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be no weeping and where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'"
Praise Allah.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A wedding banquet, a most joyful occasion. Preparations had been carefully made. Invitations had all been sent out in good time. And in biblical times, it was the day of the invitation that was sent out long, long in advance. And then nearer the time of the wedding taking place, the guests were made aware as to what time they should come at. And this is the situation we are hearing about in our New Testament reading. The early invitation had been sent, the guests had been invited, and they were waiting to know what time they should come. The families concerned were busy with all of their many preparations. And those of you who have had family weddings over these recent months will know just how much preparation there is and just what is required. This week, there will be two weddings here within the parish. Our prayers are very much with Peter and Gillian, who will be married by me up in Dunluce Parish Church in Bush Mills on Saturday afternoon, and Patrick and Charlotte, who are going to be married by Canon Ken Smith here in St. Columba's also on Saturday afternoon at the same time. And they will know very clearly of all that is involved in these days rapidly approaching their respective marriages. Well, this family concerned were doing much of those preparations, and then the time is sent out. And then disaster strikes. More and more of the guests who had been previously invited gave excuses as to why they couldn't come on the day. And we can understand why the family concerned were quite annoyed at this. All of a sudden, the day they had carefully planned was not going to be that to which they had envisaged. And of course, what makes it particularly difficult is those who had been invited were God's chosen people, the Jews, and it was almost unimaginable that they would be saying no and not turning up. And then we hear a practical solution to a practical problem. And when you are in the midst of stress and hard work, sometimes practical solutions are hard to find. And the family invited many other people to come along. This time the Gentiles were invited. And they came along and they were there for the day. They didn't make excuses, they got behind what was happening, and they shared in the invitation, and they were there for the wedding banquet. But I wonder about you and I. How good are we at making excuses? And the trouble with excuses is we put ourselves under enormous pressure and stress, and then we often end up doing eventually, sooner or later, that to which we should have done in the first place. And all of that stress and all of that anxiety expounded, and for what purpose? Bishop Michael Marshall, when he was chaplain of a college in London, one day set out from his home on a beautiful sunny day. And while he was walking to where he needed to go, all of a sudden there was a torrential shower of rain, like what we've had here in East Belfast throughout the summer months, rain and rain. And he took shelter in a gallery that he had passed by on numerous occasions but had never gone in. Life was too busy, too much ongoing, and he walked by. But on this occasion, a practical solution was required to the difficulty of the rain. He thought this shower was going to pass over quite quickly, so he would just go in and, for curiosity, have a little look round. And while he was looking around, he discovered magnificent paintings, priceless paintings, on the walls. And he saw there many people who had come thousands of miles just to be there in the gallery to look at the paintings, paintings that were in his own neighborhood that he had walked by day after day after day and hadn't gone in.
He was in simply because of the adverse weather. He was in to take shelter. And he realized here was an invitation that had been his way on so many occasions, and he'd walk by. He had simply ignored it. And there he realized something very profound when he applied that experience to the work and the role of Christ and his church. How often do we, in the midst of busyness, ignore invitations and don't seize opportunities because we are too busy doing other things? Or we are making excuses for doing that to which we should be doing, and therefore missing perhaps once in a lifetime of an opportunity or opportunities. And it got him thinking. And as it got him thinking, it also, I believe, gets all of us thinking. How often do we say no to God? How often do we make excuses for not doing things that we know that we should for God and for each other? That rain shower for Bishop Michael Marshall came just at the right time, because there he was doing something very profound and was hugely enriched by it. Perhaps there is a real need for us to focus on the message of this New Testament reading from the Gospel stories. Invitation sent. And there really is no need, is there, to be making excuses as to why we cannot serve God. And one of the aspects of our own parish church here in St. Columba's is the sense of enrichment when more and more people are involved in the life and work of our parish. Let that be here in the worship, let that be in the parish organisations, or let it be in our outreach to the local community and beyond. That sense of serving God faithfully, that sense of serving God conscientiously, that sense of getting involved and accepting an invitation to participate as best we can. And that sense of participation varies one with another. For some, it is very much involved in services. For others, it's down in the hall in the organisations. And one of the things that I am constantly trying to do is to encourage more participation and more involvement and more invitations being issued and sent to parishioners of all ages to get involved and not to pass by, not to do like Bishop Michael Marshall did, passing by the entrance door, so near and yet so far. Not like those guests invited to the wedding banquet, and when they heard of the time, said no and made excuses. They lost out. May we not lose the invitations from God. May we be focused on the things God wants us to do, and what's more, may we readily and graciously accept and give of our best. Because when we give of our best and use the gifts and the talents that God has given us, that way we enrich the fellowship within our parish, more people share in the opportunity, and yes, also the privilege of serving God faithfully in both word and in deed. May we continue to hear. May we continue to listen to what God is saying to us. And yes, that is the first part. The second part is our response. What is that going to be? I hope it will be a simple yes and an opportunity and a privilege to get involved and to share in the work to which God is calling us to do. Because those guests at the wedding who said yes eventually had a wonderful time and were hugely enriched by it. May we have a similar experience. Listen, hear, and then respond in the positive. And the results may well surprise us as together we seek to build up God's kingdom here and to glorify his name by more participation and by greater listening to invitations. May it be a resounding yes in every sense. And now to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be ascribed, it is most justly due, all might, majesty, glory, dominion, and power, henceforth and forevermore. Amen.
We make a statement of belief in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord. O Lord, save the Queen. Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness. O Lord, save your people. Give peace in our time, O Lord. O God, may clean our hearts within us. The appointed prayer of this day, the 18th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty and everlasting God, increase in us your gift of faith, that forsaking what lies behind, we may run the way of your commandments and win the crown of everlasting joy through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
As stars are. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have brought us safely to the beginning of another day, and we thank you for your tender, loving care. Help us to face confidently everything that today brings. Through our weakness, bring your strength. Through our anxieties, your calm. Through distress, your comfort and grace. And through our lives, your presence and your love. Make us ever mindful of those who are still suffering from the severe flooding and hurricanes of recent times, and from the current rampant fires in California. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, you have made us members of Christ and of his church. You have taught us through him that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Make us more truly thankful for all your goodness. Help us to deepen our commitment to you as stewards of our time, our talents, and our treasure. Guide us in all things to know and do your will, for the honour and glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless this diocese and this parish. Bless Harold, our bishop, John, our rector, Ken and Walter, our assistant priests, and Karen, our diocesan lay reader. We also ask your blessing on the many who assist in making this parish welcoming, the organizations successful, and our church most fulfilling. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, at this time of uncertainty throughout the world, give all in positions of leadership the mindfulness to make the correct decisions to bring peace and stability to all. In our own situation, show our politicians the way forward with the Brexit negotiations. And at home, the reforming of our own Parliament in Stormont for the benefit of everyone. Lord, in your mercy, let us together say the general thanksgiving prayer, which is found on page 99 in the Book of Common Prayer. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, thine unworthy servants, do give thee most humble and hearty thanks for all thy goodness and loving kindness to us and to all men. We bless thee for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of life, but above all for thine inestimable love in the redemption of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we beseech thee, give us that due sense of all thy mercies, that our hearts may be unfeignedly thankful, and that we show forth thy praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to thy service, and by walking before thee in holiness and righteousness all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen.
is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you. Let us pray. We pray for those who are bereaved at this time, especially for Marie McCordrick, following the death of her sister. Almighty God, Father of all mercies and giver of all comfort, deal graciously, we pray, with those who mourn, the casting all their care on you, they may know the consolation of your love, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Go from this place in peace. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with you now and always.
Love and serve the Lord.